What a glorious day this is. What a glorious day this is. Welcome, welcome to all of you. I am so delighted that you are with us this morning because this is a special day and it's a special time. I like to just greet everyone. Before I greet those of you who are here with us in the flesh, I want to acknowledge those of you who are also joining us online. We are so grateful and thankful for your presence, for your light, for your love, for your energy. It takes all of us to really make sure that we are a force for good in the world. So I thank you for being with us this morning. And to each of you that are here this morning in the flesh, I want to just also give yourselves a wonderful. Yes, yes, yes. I know it's a beautiful day and that you could be somewhere else, but the fact that you took the time, just a few moments out of your day, to come to gather together, to worship, to be in the number, to be in community, to feel each other's love, because none of us knows what the other person is going through, do we? And you don't know that maybe just your presence, just your smile, just your acknowledgement might be the very thing that a soul needs. So I'm grateful and thankful for each of you coming and sharing your love and your light this morning with us. This is a beautiful day. It's a special day. So today, beloved ones, is a special day. And I say it's a day of your divine appointment. We welcome you to your divine appointment. You are in the right place at the right time doing the right thing, right? Yes, yes, yes. And we have a wonderful opportunity to welcome a special guest with us this morning. I want to just read a little brief things about his bio, Reverend Jason Powell. And it says, Reverend Jason Powell is a prophetic voice, progressive Christian spiritual teacher, and gospel music artist dedicated to divine empowerment, social inclusion, and well-being for all. A 2018 Master of Divinity graduate from Christian Theological Seminary, Reverend Jason blends New Thought metaphysics with spirit-empowered faith in Christ to help people elevate consciousness, unlock abundance, and manifest heaven on earth. And then there's another, that's a shorter bio. There's another one that says, I love it, that Reverend Jason encourages individuals to personally nurture joy, peace, love, abundance, well-being by developing a greater realization of the presence and power of God within. Well, that's something we know about, right? Yes, that's something we know about. And he believes these self-realizations truly make the world a better place, not only for oneself, but also for others. And so I am just honored to be able to welcome Reverend Jason Powell. Let's give him a unity welcome.
Unity of Washington, D.C. Good to see you all today. Thank you to Reverend Sylvia Sumter for the amazing introduction. You all are used to some amazing high-level spiritual truth, and I appreciate what you represent in the world and the work that you've already done. And I consider this to be a divine appointment and a divine time. I also appreciate the music ministry that we've received this morning. Can we just give another hand for them? I appreciate musical excellence, and I acknowledge it when I see it. So I appreciate that. I want us to take a moment. And can we just now look around and can we appreciate the fact that we're here? And can we just offer a hand clap of praise to God? God, we praise and thank you for your precious spirit, for the spirit of life, for the spirit of love. Now embody this time, embody our understanding with fresh awareness. May we enter the zone where we are living, being, doing, and having the good that we are here to share and to spare and to create, to co-create with the divine presence of God. Enlighten our minds and our understanding today that we might be taken to the level where we are being, doing, and having the good that we've been sent here to be, to do, and to have. May it be so in Christ's name, and we all say amen. Amen. Okay, so I want us to take our attention this morning to a passage in the Gospels. This is John chapter 10. And it's one of the most liberating passages, but most mystifying passages. In John chapter 10, verse 30 to 39, I'm going to start us off, and I want you to hear this story and look at this. It says, and I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, Jesus is here in verse 30, and he says this, "The Father and I are one." The Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus replied, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, though only a human, are making yourself God." Jesus answered, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? If those to whom the word of God came were called gods, and the scripture cannot be annulled, can you say that the one whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world is blaspheming because I said, 'I am God's son'? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do them, even though you don't believe me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." Then they tried to arrest him again, but he escaped from their hands. Someone say, "But he escaped from their hands." I want to talk to you this morning from the subject, divine mind activate. Can you say divine mind,
activate.
We're talking about redeeming time and reclaiming power. Redeeming time and reclaiming power. So when we say this, I want us to say this three times, and I want us to emphasize a different word each time. So the first time it'll be divine mind activate. The second one, divine mind activate. The third time, divine mind activate. Okay, now there's a reason why we're doing this. Because when you emphasize different words, sometimes it emphasizes a different part of your mind, a different part of your consciousness. It'll release a different emotion. So in light of what we just did, let's start this off. Can we just raise our hands together? And can we put them in the area of our mind? And let's say, divine mind activate. Second time, divine mind activate. Third time, divine mind activate. Now, why is it important that we begin to get this into our mouths? We know this because when we merge with the vibration of what we're saying, we open up the way for it to manifest. In John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these because I'm going to the Father." This has mystified people for ages, right? Because you're saying, "Oh my God, there's these greater works. We know about some of the great works Jesus did." And yet he has the audacity to say to us that there's some works that you're going to partake in and share in that I want you to be a conduit of. You know, but sometimes we can hear this and we can hear it without claiming it for ourselves afresh again. That's why I say we've got to reclaim power. Just like you take your car to the gas station, right? And you got to refuel the car because the car ain't going nowhere off of last week's fueling if you've used it, right? So no matter how many times we fuel up the car, we recognize the importance and the need and the necessity for taking it back to the gas station again, right, to refuel it. And I just declare that there is a time in this space that we're experiencing right now where there's going to be a reconnection and a refueling. There are situations and trials that you've been trying to navigate and figure out in your own mind, the old intellect that has its limitations, but there is a release today that we would have an access point, a re-entry point to the divine mind. Someone claim divine mind for yourself to say, "I receive the divine mind.
I receive the divine mind afresh today."
Now, there are a few things that stick out to me in the scripture. Look at what's going on here. Jesus first starts off making this audacious claim, "I and the Father are one." But the Father includes spirit. So if you look at the Hebrew tetragrammaton, yod he vav he, which is talking about the name of Jehovah or the name of God, it emphasizes different aspects of the nature of God. Yod he vav he. Really, the Father, let's break this down very quickly, the yod would be unconditioned consciousness. that pure consciousness state, not defined by any form, the formless, that's the yud. The he would be a conditioned form. We would call it like a word or a thought or an image, but it proceeds from the formless, right? So that's yud he. The yud he and the va oftentimes represents the Holy Spirit. Someone say the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit represents that feeling nature, that passionate energy. Someone say passionate energy. Now, that's yud he va. The next he, yud he va he, that final he, which is all included in the Hebrew name of God, represents manifestation or emerging into the seen realm. So when it says the Father and I are one, Jesus is literally saying here that the yud he and the va and I are one. In essence, it's not just a masculine thing. It includes the divine feminine, because we see in Old Testament scripture, the spirit of wisdom, or Sophia is what it's interpreted, has a feminine description of the spirit. So we understand that the spirit and God is not necessarily just a masculine thing. I feel like we need to say that sometimes, because we can say Father so much that we think God is a man or a male. But we know that God is the infinite and all-inclusive, yes? So when Jesus says the Father and I are one, he's literally saying that the essence of all that is, I am body. But what makes this so wild to me, and why the people reacted so crazily to him, is because it wasn't just about him claiming it for himself. What did he say? He said, you are God. All right, but this is what happens when we make this claim, when we hear this. Metaphysically speaking, the same thing happens to us, right? What happens? Well, let's look at the text. What did the text say? It said in verse 31, the Jews took up stones again to stone him. The stones of life like to be thrown at revelation. When you come into the new awareness that there's something divine that God has put inside of me, the stones of life like, the external senses? How about condemning theology? How about the rejection of inner truth? All these stones. How about time limitations? There are things that we perceive as, oh, well, that can't happen for me because of what? Time. Or how about, well, my external senses don't agree with the truth that I've been hearing, so which one is true? My consciousness likes to turn to when I still got this bill, or I'm still dealing with this health challenge. Stones. Or you begin to understand that God loves and affirms the beauty of who you are, but then you hear somebody have some sign up that is condemning somebody to hell, and that's a stone being thrown. So what do we do when we have the revelation of inner truth? We have to remember we're still going to have to navigate some stones. Somebody say, I still have to navigate the stones. Now, if we approach our stone situations like the natural mind, we're going to do what we used to call tit for tat. Or what does that mean? Responding to a situation in the same spirit in which it comes to me. In other words, we used to say, you know, well, if you come to me sideways, I'm going to come to you sideways. But that's not the activity of the divine mind. Well, what did Jesus do there? What did he do? It says that he turns the attention back on the activity of the Spirit. I've shown you many good works from the Father. Which of these are you going to stone me for? They said, it's not for a good work we're going to stone you. It's for blasphemy. He says, is it not written in your law? I said, you are God's. What does he do? Redirects the attention back to the truth. So it doesn't matter how many times we have to be reminded of this truth. Our consciousness appreciates the reminder, because we have to constantly redirect our attention back to the truth no matter what we face. We got to keep on taking the car back to the gas station no matter how many times we run out. Because the mind is like that, right? It's using what we give it, what we feed into it. How many want a mind that's working great? Then we've got to feed it some good stuff, right? I love this. It says here in that same area that Jesus said, I've said you are God's. Here's what I want you to look at and consider and ponder. If there's breath in your body, then there's always a new level of purpose and power in God that you can activate in your life. There is no limit to what you can awaken in your life, what good, what brilliant things you can awaken in your soul, what struggles you can overcome, what mountains you can overcome when you realize who you are in God and remind yourself of it. Watch this. We have access to the divine mind to bring forth individual and collective good, both immaterial and material, but it must be activated. Someone say, but it must be activated. Jesus came to give you access, y'all, to the divine mind, which holds the power to override the limits of the ordinary world mind, but you must activate it. Somebody say, I must activate it. You say, I know that already. Well, say, I must reactivate it. I remember how I began to think about God differently. I began to reimagine God differently. I remember it was probably around the year 2006. I was living here in D.C., and I was somewhere on the street by the University of D.C. I had gotten a hold of this collection of books. I was mentioning this to Reverend Sumter yesterday. I got a hold of a collection of books. It was called The Prosperity Bible. Inside of The Prosperity Bible, they had several books, some by Charles Fillmore, some by James Allen, etc., etc. But I got on this one book by James Allen called As a Man or a Mind Thinks. As a Man Thinks. And there's a poem in there that I love. I heard some of you have been familiar with that before. There's a poem that starts out that book, and it says, mind is the master power that molds and makes, and we are mind, and evermore we take the tool of thought and shaping what we will, bring forth 1,000 joys or 1,000 ills. We think in secret, and it comes to pass. Environment is just the looking glass. That thing struck me so strongly there back in 2006, and I began to realize, wait a minute, there's more to this spirituality thing. It's not always just praising or trying to scrape for something external to me. I've got to awaken something inside. Now, after I got on the journey of awakening something inside, I realized that it's actually a rigorous process of awakening the divine within. So we see here that God is offering us constantly a divine override for the stone-throwing situations that we experience in life. God is constantly offering us a divine override for the stone-throwing experiences of life. I love what Neville Goddard said here. He said, people pay too little attention to this priceless gift, the human imagination. And a gift is practically non-existent unless there is a conscious possession of it and a readiness to use it. He said, what he's trying to say here is somebody can give you a gift, right? And it might be the answer to everything you need a solution for. But if you're not eager to unwrap the gift and learn how to use it, what good is it going to do for you, right? Like, for instance, somebody gave me a gift of this watch here. Personally, I haven't had the passion and the desire to try to figure out all the things that it can do. So in my conscious mind, I realized that there are certain benefits that it could provide for me that I haven't quite tapped into. But let a situation come up where I realize the need that I'm going to do what it takes to use what I've been given, to unwrap the gift so this priceless gift can provide the value. And so what is Spirit doing in your own heart and in your own life today? There is a process that I talk about in my book that God gave me, Reimagine God, and it's called the PCCP framework. It's called Progressive Christ Consciousness Programming. Can you say progressive? Christ consciousness programming. And the simple steps here are prepare, clear, code, prosper. Now, don't get caught up on that word prosper.
Because it's not just money. It includes money, but it's about a prosperous soul and mind and spirit and emotions and well-being in your home and your life. That's total life prosperity. And so when we prepare by remembering and realizing who we are, when we clear, that means there's some stuff we're going to have to clear out of our mental space, some stuff we got to let go of. And this just isn't a one-time thing. As long as there's breath in these bodies, we have to keep doing it. Then we have to code or put the right internal software operating in our minds, our conscious minds, letting it seep down into our subconscious, receiving from the superconscious or the Christ consciousness so that we can embody the heavenly realm. Yeah? And then from that point, we what? We prosper or we expand or we do well in our minds, in our spirits, in our souls, in our bodies. Somebody say there's a divine process. Yes, and this divine process is helping us to get into the motion of being manifestors of the divine mind. Now, I want us to look at this. When you consider the divine mind, you might think, yeah, well, that seems so impractical. I hear about it, but I need a reminder of some practicalities. Well, first of all, sometimes time, the ticking time clock, keeps us bound. Because we're so conscious of these bodies. We came here, we're born as babies. We from the minute we enter the earth environment, everything is changing. Nothing is ever staying the same, right? Not only physically, but mentally and emotionally. There's constant shift, movement, change. We're not the same person physically that we were yesterday, for that matter. But definitely 7 years ago, we're constantly evolving. And so this time-bound awareness calls our attention constantly. There's a difference between time-bound awareness versus timeless awareness. Can you say time-bound awareness? Can you say timeless awareness? I love what Deepak Chopra says about this timeless awareness. He says, in time-bound awareness, our behavior is always influenced by the past and by anticipation and fear of the future. But this timeless awareness says this. He says, I do not worry about the past over in the timeless awareness, and I am not fearful of the future because my life is supremely concentrated in the present, in the right, and the right response comes to me to every situation as it occurs. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Because what does the mind do? I mean, even while you're sitting right here, the mind is going to something in the past or going to something in the future or thinking about what you're going to eat or you know, the mind just loves to take that brain and just allow it to float. But what happens when we're intentional about what we're doing with our minds and we come back to the center? We then begin to enter into a timeless awareness where the I am is. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And if I and the Father are one, that means he is really highlighting his connection with a timeless awareness. How do you find your timeless awareness? Y'all, if we're going to activate the divine mind, we've got to enter and re-enter the timeless awareness. Jesus said, I am the door. What do you do with a door, right? You walk into it, yeah? But then it takes you someplace. So your timeless awareness, your meditation, your centering, your knowing is meant to take you to the place where you can then be a conduit of the good to flow. Yeah. But the problem is we're always stuck against the stone-throwing problems of the world. We've got to learn to appreciate the gift of the present. Chopra also said in that book, Creating Affluence, without transcendence, life has no beauty. Without transcendence, life has no beauty. That's part of why we come here. We come here to transcend. And so when I worship, when I meditate, when I go to nature, these are all vehicles of what? Transcendence. Why? Because without transcendence, life has no what? Beauty. So what about, you might say, okay, but Jason, what about the challenges that I continue to experience? What about the problems of life that continue to come up? Well, I'm encouraged by this passage in Proverbs 18 and 14. Amplified says, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? The spirit of a human will sustain him in his infirmity, another translation says. So the spirit of a human will sustain that human when they're dealing with the trouble. Have you ever wondered why you're able to keep on going when stuff gets hard for you? It's because there's something working on the inside of you where you know, I am bigger than this current present challenge. I am bigger than my current dilemma. Something in me actually begins to respond and awaken when I do encounter a challenge. It actually is a signpost for something divine within to wake up. Huh? So the next time you experience a challenge or a stone that's being thrown at you, whether it's an accusation, whether it is a challenging moment, remember, this is an invitation to awaken something within and remember who I am. Dr. Joseph Murphy said this, and I loved it. He said, there are mental corrosive poisons, just the same as there are physical corrosive poisons. They are just as destructive also. He says, if you're now disturbed, agitated, and angry over the way someone has acted towards you, it means you have a very negative thought pattern in your consciousness, which you should heal instantly. Now, I don't know about you, but I get agitated. I get disturbed sometimes, but less and less when I remember who I am. I was in the line with my daughter. I have a 13-year-old son and a 9-year-old daughter from a former marriage. And my daughter and I were in the line to pick up my son from school because I had to pick her up at 2 o'clock, got to pick him up at 3:45. Thankfully, my schedule is such where I'm able to do that, and sometimes I don't want to, but then I remember, wait a minute, this is a privilege. This is not going to last always. Just keep on going. But I was in the line, and there was a person that cut the line, and they were very adamant about trying to get to where they wanted to go. And my daughter said, you're just going to let him in? And I said, Aubrey, at some point in life, you realize there are certain things that matter and certain things that don't. I just want to go home to my family at the end of the day. And why do I say that? We've got to learn not to be overly disturbed and agitated by things that really don't matter. And one of the ways we do that is the constant redirection of the attention. Why? Because if we give our consciousness energy to that which agitates or disturbs us, what's going to happen? We create the space for more of it. We're asking for more of it. It responds to the law of attraction. What we actually turn over in our minds over and over and over and over again, we're literally unconsciously asking for more. We're saying, yes, universe, yes, God, give me more of that. That's why I have to remind myself when I notice the mental patterns in myself, the mental chatter that is going off about one thing or another or one person, I got to say, Jason, wait a minute. Do you really want to create that? No, I don't want to create more of that. So stop. I love how it works in the positive way, too. It works in the positive way, too. I remember when I had all these mentors at one point that were saying, you know, Jason, you need to go to seminary. You need to go to seminary. And I felt like when they were saying that to me, that they had no concern for my actual condition at the time, which was like, well, how am I going to pay for this? It's not free, the last time I checked. And so I did not go right away. There were a period of years where I waited for the right door to open up. This, though, is what was powerful. There was a point at which I was going to move to Chicago, and I felt like Spirit was like, nope, I want you to stay in Indianapolis for now. Once I received that confirmation, the inspiration came to me, I should go to CTS Seminary. Once that came, for a period of 2 weeks, I was set that that was going to be the next move. I think it was a combination of divine mind and Jason mind coming together. And what I did in visualization was, I knew naturally I didn't have the funds. So I said, well, if it was already taken care of, what would happen? I would be opening a letter that said, congratulations, full acceptance, with full scholarship. I felt like that could happen. I feel like I just had the faint thought. And then I had a conversation with somebody well, did you know that there's this new scholarship program that they're offering? And I was like, oh, okay. So I did the natural things. I applied. I sent everything off. But for the period of about 2 weeks, as I would go to sleep, I would read that letter over and over in my imagination. I would see the Christian Theological Seminary emblem. I would see in bold letters, full scholarship, and congratulations, you've been accepted. And I read that over and over for about 2 weeks. I had been introduced to the divine principle and the truth, but I was like, well, you know what? What else am I going to do? Why don't I use it and feel what it would feel like were that true? So, to my amazement, when I went down a couple weeks later, went to the box, opened it up, and pulled out the letter that said the same words that I saw in my imagination, I literally ran around my house because I was like, what in the world? This is amazing. Now, we know the truth, and yet when we manifest, there's that joy and that thrill, and sometimes we quickly forget. You know, and we don't always get it right. But we get it right more often than not when we remember the truth. Yeah? That was a picture for me. Jason, don't forget to remember who you are. Remember there's a divine something that you are one with when you remember. You know, and even when we don't remember, we have access, but it might not be activated. Does that resonate with you? Even when you don't remember, you still have access, but it might not be activated. Now, here is what turns the wheel for me, and I think it's going to turn the wheel for you too. We've got to get a hold of some covenant language. Somebody say covenant language that activates the divine mind. And I find that covenant language in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. It stirs me up. So look at Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. What does it say? It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. What does the mind do? The mind helps us to remember some things too, right? And forget not what? The benefits. So one thing our mind needs to be doing is remembering the benefits. Somebody say, remember the benefits. Remember the benefits. Because when you put your attention on it, you activate it. Well, what are these benefits? Oh, I get happy when I read this. Verse number 3 says what? Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and corruption, who beautifies and dignifies and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. I'm reading from Amplified. In verse 5, I love verse 5, who satisfies your mouth, your necessity and desire at your personal age and situation with good, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Who satisfies you with... How many of those benefits do you see in that passage? Somebody say a lot? I like to put them in just a few categories, but yeah, there's a lot of them. Verse 3, forgives all your iniquities. What is that? Any kind of accusation, any kind of all that stuff and mental clogging, forgiven. That's one of the benefits of the divine mind. You don't have to live into that story, that old script. You don't have to keep on rehearsing the old scripts. Why? Forgiven, replaced with something new. What was the second one? Who what? Heals all your what? Diseases, anything that puts you dis at ease. Healed with access to the divine mind. But wait a minute, I think we've pushed the cart before the horse. How did we get access to these benefits? They're ours. We got to remember. Yeah. Now, how do we remember? Psalm 103 gives us, verse 1, gives us the insight in how we remember. Somebody said, keep praising God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. That's the soul is what? Your mind, your will, your emotions, your visualizations, your thoughts, your word, thought, images. Let it all center on spirit. And that word bless is to affectionately, gratefully praise. In other words, we have a love for spirit. We have a love for this invisible realm where we allow that love to wash over us. And how do we activate it? We got to begin to say, thank you, God. Thank you for life. Thank you for strength. Thank you for another day to be alive. Thank you for consciousness in this body. Thank you for a mind to praise you. Thank you for a mind that is a conduit of divine light and divine well-being. And I recommit this mind. I could recommit this heart and this energy to be a conduit of light. Bless the Lord. What? Oh, my soul, and what? All that's within me. Bless his holy name. Now you see how, as practitioners of divine mind science, if you will, it's not always just so easy to direct all that's within you. That's why we come here. Because to direct all that's within you is an intense, passionate, focused concentration where spirit enables you to rise from your sense fixation into the realm where spirit is not limited. Then you come back into your sense fixation, and from that realm of well-being and bliss and light and beauty, we then draw to us experiences and situations that reflect that inner beauty, that reflect that inner light. That's why we have to go up in the realm of spirit so that we bring down into our natural affairs the beauty that we experienced in the unseen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless the Lord. Then what happens? Don't forget the benefits. What are the benefits, y'all? Verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Somebody in here say, I receive my renewal. There is renewal flowing today. And the renewal is for me. Say it. Yes. And the more you say it, the more you enter into that zone. Yes. Affectionately, gratefully praise the higher mind of spirit, the living God, with your entire inner being. And as you do this, remember there are benefits that are being transferred to you in the process. As you exalt the higher mind of God in you and merge with that love and that light and that redemption and channel it towards others in your thought life, you're inviting back to you healing and love and forgiveness and renewal, which includes a victory in time. How do we know? Your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's talking about a renewal in time. Neville Goddard gave a powerful quote that it has come near to my heart because I go back to it often. He says, disregard appearances and subjectively affirm as true that which you wish to be true. Disregard appearances. Appearances appear in what? Time. So sometimes we've got to not remember where we are in time, because that pulls us back to the external senses where we're not quite able to slip into the realm of spirit where we can access the heavenly bliss that is not bound by conditions. Disregard appearances or disregard time, even if for a moment. I'm not saying disregard time forever, because we have to have some structure and order in this earth space environment, right? We've got to have that. But what worship helps us do is it helps us to create the space. Sometimes we just need that gap, that space where we're not bound by the confines of time. That's what meditation does. That's what worship does. It helps us slip into the timeless awareness, because in that timeless awareness, it's what the psalmist said, in your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That forevermore is what? Timeless. It's the timeless awareness. In your presence there is fullness of joy. We've got to go to the timeless space and bring back into time that which we experienced in the timeless space. When we meditate, what's happening? We're entering the timeless space. When we worship, what's happening? We're entering the timeless space. Listen, in the spiritual realm, we can go forward or backward in time through an enlightened imagination. So our spiritual practices, like the worship and the meditation and our giving and our service to humanity, what does it do? It redeems the function of imagination. I love what Charles Fillmore said here. He says, in the book Prosperity, he says the word, the mightiest vibration. Somebody say, the mightiest vibration is set up by speaking the name Jesus Christ. This is the name above all names, holding in itself all power in heaven and in earth. I'm quoting Charles Fillmore here, but he's also quoting some scripture. It is the name that has power to mold the universal substance. It is one with the father-mother substance. And when spoken, it sets forces into activity that bring results. So, what am I doing here? I'm bridging our use of mind with our use of word, so that we understand what's going on in the mind should be bridged and match the words coming out of our mouth. If there is incongruency between our mental activity in the meditative moments, in the worship moments, at the high times, and the words we're speaking out of our mouth, if they are not in harmony, then we're really not able to maintain a great stance in the realm of spirit for manifesting the good. That's where the stone throwing comes. Oh, boy. That's where the stone throwing comes. Because we're saying one thing and we're meditating another, or we're saying something that sounds real good, and our hidden heart visualizations and meditations don't match. So this is our inner work here, to get an inner harmony, an inner congruency with what we're thinking, visualizing, and speaking. Huh? Is that resonating with anybody? The mightiest vibration is set up by speaking that divine name. But also in that name is your good. So as light workers merging with the mind of Christ, we have an opportunity to use our consciousness in redeeming, loving ways for self and for others. And there is a harvest for us. There's a harvest for you when you do that. Who in your mind's eye can you baptize in your mind's eye in love, in an ocean of love, in an ocean of love? Who can you baptize in your mind's eye in an ocean of love? Who can you, being a conduit of this divine mind, who can you baptize in an ocean of love where you are being the conduit through which some healing can take place? The conduit through which some forgiveness can take place. The conduit through which some redemption can take place. Through which some renewal can take place. Your mind, your heart, your spirit, awakened, now must be used to a purpose. And what you give to others in consciousness returns to you. And the remembrance of this, the realization of this, reawakens and realigns in every area of life. I want us to focus our attention here. Visions of beauty and splendor, forms of a long-lost race, of sounds and faces and voices, from the fourth dimension of space, and on through the universe boundless, our thoughts go lightning shod. Some call it imagination, and others call it God. As you're breathing in and out, feel that your breath is the breath of the Almighty. For in Him we live and move and have our being. And it's with the breath of the Almighty that we're given understanding and inspiration. I'm going to invite you into a square breathing routine, if that is comfortable for you. And I'm going to count 4 seconds on an inhale, 4 seconds on a hold, 4 seconds on an exhale, 4 seconds on a hold. Now, this square breathing is going to help us enter the timeless awareness. I'm not going to do the counting the whole time, but I'll start us off. Let's inhale. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hold. 4, 3, 2, 1. Exhale. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hold. 3, 2, 1. Inhale. 2, 3, 4. Hold. 2, 3, 4. Exhale. 2, 3, 4. Hold. 2, 3. Inhale. 2, 3. Hold. 2, 3. Exhale. Now keep this pattern in your own rhythm. That feels good. Just gently let any thoughts that try to jump up, just let them drop away and return to the breath. Just remember your oneness. Disentangled from the problems of the world. Challenges dissolved in the light of the timeless awareness. Returning the attention to the breath. With the realization of your mind being merged with the divine mind, I invite you to repeat after me. My mind is one with the divine. The breath of the Almighty is my life. I now use my mind in loving ways. I see forgiveness happening all over my experience. Divine resets of forgiveness. Divine reset. Divine reset. Forgiveness is flowing through me now. And I let go of anything that I don't need to hold on to. I am a conduit of healing. Healing is eager to flow through me. Healing is eager to flow from me. I hold this healing and share it with the world. My mind is a conduit of redemption. I see myself lifting, smiling in the areas that I am divinely ordained to smile. I deserve to smile because God in me is my joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And the strength of the Lord is my joy. I see myself with a light of love encircled around me. Rings of light and love vibrating from my body, going out into the world from within me. Outward, never stopping, never ceasing, for I am one with the divine mind. Rings of love and well-being flowing from me out to touch others. When I walk past people on the street, I radiate love and goodwill. I radiate love and blessing. I bless the path of my neighbor. As I walk the streets here, as I move in my vehicle, I radiate love, light, healing, and blessing. And may it infiltrate even the government. May this love, light, and blessing and reset infiltrate even the government spaces. We proclaim divine resets. We proclaim new avenues of beloved community opening up. We proclaim new light entering the world. We proclaim new love. We proclaim new peace. And now, we embody the essence of emotional well-being. Touch our emotions, spirit of love. Touch our minds, spirit of love. Touch our bodies, spirit of love. Touch our finances, spirit of love. We thank you that it is so. And so it is.
Thank you so much, wonderful Reverend Jason, for being with us.